Hi, I'm Chris, I'm an addict. I wasn't in a very good mood by the time I got here this evening. This is the fourth chair I've done in less than 2 weeks, and I'm sick of the sound of my own voice, which has got to be a first. And the three others were impromptu, and this was the only one that was actually booked. And I've been at work all day, and I deal in a profession that is dealing with people's emotions all the time, and I felt quite heavy from that. And I'm tired. I've had a week and a half. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life. I've got so many irons in the fire in different places that I can't actually see the fire anymore. You know, and everything is being balanced up. And there's some really good stuff happening. But also it's very, very stressful. And so I feel sometimes quite aggressive. Right. And I don't like feeling that uncomfortableness. But on the way up here, just as we parked, just walking up, I walked past this pub and there's this people full of drinking and the smell of the alcohol. And I don't particularly like the smell of beer. Right, and then just sort of like feet away, there's people bedding down for the night. And what occurred to me is there you go, this is the two ends of the party trail, you know, and how easily, you know, the jocular festivities of the pub can end up on the street. Just like that. And I'm sure there's somebody in that pub that I saw who will be in these rooms one day. I come very late in life to actually active addiction. I didn't get addicted to drugs until I was 57, right? And I picked up my dying husband's diamorphine because I couldn't stand the separation process. And it actually took him 3 bedridden years to die. He was injecting, I was injecting. We both knew that we were addicted. He couldn't come to terms with his addiction because he had a genuine illness. It was all coming in via prescription. And it took him 3 years to die because of the codependency between us. Right? He couldn't leave me and I didn't want him to leave me. But by the time he did die, I mean, it was just hell. If he hadn't died, I probably would. Because I probably would have died because I was using half the drugs that were coming into the house. So on top of all this diamorphine that I was, I know the terminology now, skin popping, right, I was taking Zopaclone to hold it down because I didn't want to get myself in a position where I'd be using more of the drugs coming into the house than him. I could stand stealing drugs off of a dying man, but I couldn't stand stealing more than he was taking. But some years ago, a couple of years ago, it took me 9 months in NA to come to terms with the fact that I was an addict, right? Because all the drugs I'd used throughout my life at various times, I could always put down, right? It never occurred to me that I was an addict, right? Because I could stop when I wanted to. But that, I couldn't stop. Because this shit will get you in the end. It will get you in the end if you are an addict. And somebody said to me, you may not have been addicted, right, but you had the chaos of an addict from day one. And I did. I never felt I belonged. You know, I come from a working class family who gave me a middle class upbringing. I went to a private school. I didn't fit at school. I came home. I didn't fit with the kids who played on the street. I didn't feel part of my family. When I was about 7 years old, I remember actually seeing a program on adoption. And I thought, that's it, I'm adopted. And I was bitterly disappointed when my mother told me that I wasn't. Because that was the only thing that made sense to me. I don't belong. And I really genuinely felt I didn't belong. I had everything. You know, I had a bedroom, I had my own playroom, I had all the toys, you know. Both my current partner and my husband of 27 years, right, just sits there, both sit there looking at me. I had pork chops or lamb chops for breakfast, you know, and yeah, I didn't fit anywhere. My parents, my father was a professional boxer and put me in a swimming pool when I was 9, and I didn't come out of that until I was 15, having discovered sex, and then sex was more important than the swimming, because I didn't really want to do it anyway. It was not something that my heart was in. But, you know, the other things that I love, like ballet dancing and tap dancing and ice skating, they were all taken away from me to go in this swimming pool. And I had some success. I had some national success, but I wasn't interested. You know, I'm supposed to go to the Mexico Olympics. I got ill. I missed that. I discovered boys and what that I could basically get 99% of the boys that I was interested in if I had sex. And that led very quickly, with my codependency, to prostitution at 16. And it's something I always share in my chair, because I know a lot of women in these rooms come from the same place. And it took me 20 years to get over the guilt and shame, right? Because I was in and out of prostitution until I was 28, apart from the odd time I did some tap dancing, or not tap dancing, stripping, that's the one, not tap dancing. Not that you'd know there was much difference. Right, oh, topless waitressing. Right, and I was really, really lucky, right, because I was in 6 years of heavy-duty prostitution in West Germany. Had a pimp who I thought was my boyfriend, right? And then I got very, very drunk one night in the whorehouse, and I smashed up the kitchen because I'd found out he'd made this other woman pregnant, right? And the guy who owned the whorehouse stopped me from drinking, right? I mean, who gets banned from drinking in a whorehouse? Right, but it actually made me sober enough to have a really sageous moment that if I did not get out of West Germany, I would die. Right, because I couldn't really prostitute anymore without the drugs, because I took drugs to go to sleep, drugs to wake me up, alcohol to be able to fuck whoever wanted to fuck me, right, but could still stop at weekends if I wasn't working. Right, but not being able to take those drugs made me, drugs, alcohol, made me actually realise where I was at and that I could no longer sustain it. And as I say, I was very, very lucky because I came out of there with enough money after a year. I came back to England. And of course, I always had a be back. The door was always open. I'm an only child. Right. With a desperately codependent mother. So there was no way the door was ever going to be closed on me. Right, so I got this money, and it was enough at the time. I'm talking, what, 35, 40 years ago. It was enough to buy a two-bedroom flat. But, of course, that wasn't good enough for me. Right, so I did the mother of all geographicals, took all this money, and I backpacked around the world for 3 years, right, all on my own, getting into as much trouble across three continents as I'd ever done staying in the same place, you know, and never understanding why I couldn't keep my boundaries, right, you know, because even then, you know, if a man wanted to have sex with me, 9 times out of 10, I would, but I couldn't understand why sometimes I could say no. I mean, don't get me wrong, there were some of them I wanted to sleep with, but there was a lot of men that I would sleep with just because they decided they wanted me. You know, and it never, ever occurred to me that I was an addict. I mean, I ended up living for 6 weeks in Miami with a Colombian coke dealer, as you do. right? And there was this one particular night, from 9 o'clock in the evening to 3 o'clock in the morning, I matched these hardened coke addicts line for line. And it never occurred to me to think, how is it possible for you to do that? Okay. I ended up spewing on the streets of Calcutta after taking opium and was really pissed off because I didn't get all these nice dreams that you're supposed to with opium. So I never took it again because all it did for me was made me sleep for 3 days. Never took it again, so how can I be an addict? First, I will just tell you this, and I think then I need to stop because I've been given the 5. I first encountered the 12 steps when I was about 34. My husband was a recovering alcoholic. Right? He didn't actually drink for 25 years, which was a miracle. It really was, even though I still say he got addicted at the end of his life. And I went into another fellowship, and the 12 steps saved my life. They saved my life. It was the first time that I really started to understand I have to be self-responsible. I went back to college, I got my diploma, I got an MA. Within 2 years of me doing that, I was running the department that trained me. Then we all got made redundant. I was given the opportunity to have my own business. I'm in the 11th year of running my own training company. I'm a published author in my field. My students have, 3 separate groups of my students have won national research prizes, and it's down to the 12 steps. And I still got addicted. I still got addicted because I'm an addict. And all I can say is I'm very grateful to be in NA because it's rekindled everything I learned and taken me further. So if you're new around, keep coming back. The world's your oyster. Thank you.